step on the teachers. Time to teach a new way.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Tuesday on B&E. That is right, a Tuesday that'll feel like a Monday. But it is a short work week coming off the Memorial Day weekend. And welcome to June. 1 June 2021, a lot to dive into. The NBA playoffs continue, Major League Baseball in full speed, and the Field of 64 revealed for the college baseball. The trip to Omaha in the College World Series, we'll dive into the Longhorns spotted the number 2 overall national seed, hosting the Austin Regional this weekend. We'll dive in there as well. Plenty to do. Hope you had a great 3-day weekend. Enjoyed it as you could as the rain continues to come down in Austin, Texas. More to come here into the month of June. The May showers will transcend into June as we begin the official start of summer on this June 1st this morning. Lot to do. 4 hours of fun and conversation begins right now as we get you up and going. Appreciate you being there. However you find us, we make it as easy as we can. Lots of options. We got 104.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 FM, also on AM 1260, and always streaming live on your Horn app on your hornfm.com, and of course on our Twitch channel at hornfm.com as well. Your smart speaker gets you there as well as we welcome back Mr. Godbolt to the program. Hello, my friend.
How are you? Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. It is appreciated. Hopefully everybody had a safe and happy weekend. And a very, very safe weekend, because it was a very wet weekend off and on, obviously. And you're going to get that to start out your week. This is going, like I said.
You did.
You're going to get rain in June. This is going to be a weird kind of pattern. And Mr. Farmer's Almanac had the boys down at fish camp going, what in the hell are you doing here? Just telling you, it's going to be wet. We're going to have some wetness that we haven't seen in a couple of years, and that's okay, because it's okay. It's not like it's total downpours. We had the sunshine yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
It was hot as hell, and then it rained again, and then it rained.
Yeah, the on and off showers.
In the middle of the night, it's kind of refreshing. We still need the rain, but it'll get sunny enough. It'll get hot enough soon enough.
So well, I will say that looking at the long-term forecast, there's rain in the forecast every day.
Yes.
For the next 7 to 10 days, but at the same time, there's not a temperature over 82 degrees.
That's right.
So in early June, as you predicted, Mr. Godbolt, mild temperatures. I mean, the 81, 79, mm-hmm. 82. We'll take that as we get you going in the new month. We flip the calendar with a lot going on. And how was your extended weekend? As you,
it's good.
You got to, we talked on Fridays, you were out, you went to fish camp. And
I did.
Did you catch any fish?
Not really. I mean, fish camp is slow right now. The water's high at the coast. You know, there's a lot of fresh water coming in, so it's with all the rains and stuff. But I got to sit in the storm that you got on Friday. I got to sit dead smack in the middle of it, sitting on a porch with five guys just looking out and lightning all around us, and the thunder hitting so loud it would shake your body. And we sat there. We wanted to see it through, and that was it was scary. It was fun, but man, oh man, is it the coast is. It's got a lot of water on it, too. There's water everywhere in the state of Texas right now. I mean, there are places coming back, and those little towns and places like that generally are dried up by now, and they've got puddles and they've got lakes in their yards right now. So, but fish camp was good. I got a good 14 hours sleep. 14 hours.
You slept for
Friday.
14 hours?
Yeah, man, sleep camp.
Well, Zay and I were talking that you're the guy that wakes up early and wakes everybody up.
Yeah. Not this trip.
14 hours.
I had a 14-hour sleep on Friday night.
Oh, my gosh.
When we got there, I laid out, fell asleep in the sun with shorts on, and so my chest is all burnt, my legs, my feet, my nose is all burnt up. So that night, I ate, and around 6:30 or so, 7 o'clock, I went to bed, and then I got up at like 9-something, almost 9:30 the next day. I mean, I was out. I slept right through. Well, it's different. When you go to fish camp and everybody's drinking and you're not drinking,
yeah, I get
after
it.
A while it gets to be old. You know, you hear the stories over and over again. And
the fish tails.
It was fish tails, but it was fun.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Sleep camp.
Yeah. There's several big storms over the weekend wherever you were, and Friday was probably the biggest of the weekend. And we went down to Houston, actually the Woodlands, for a wedding on Saturday and back Sunday, and enjoyed yesterday. And pool opened in the neighborhood, which is good. You'll get out to the swimming pool. Hopefully you got a chance to do that, whatever you did. Glad you're back on a Tuesday. Let's start with your headlines, get you caught up on the news of the weekend. If you're kind of out of pocket like the Buck was, sleeping 14 or 15 hours, let's get you caught up on what went on. Sinus and snoring specialists bring it to you. And we'll start with Texas baseball. and the field of 64 revealed for the College World Series yesterday on the men's side. And as most expected, Longhorn selected as a number one seed in the Austin Regional. They are the number two seed overall in the entire tournament. That was announced yesterday when the field of 64 was revealed. Longhorns 42-15. They're one of three Big 12 teams in the top eight. Sixth-ranked TCU, eighth-ranked Texas Tech also will host regionals this weekend and potentially super regionals the following. Texas will face fourth-seeded Southern on Friday at UFCU-Dish Falk Field in their first game. The other matchup, the four teams, second-seeded Arizona State, will face third-seeded Fairfield here in Austin on Friday. The winner of the Austin Regional will face the winner of the Gainesville, Florida Regional, hosted by the 15th-ranked Florida Gators. Arkansas is the number one overall seed nationally. We'll certainly talk plenty of college baseball this morning. Major League Baseball yesterday on Memorial Day. Astros took the first of four from Boston. Beat the Red Sox up pretty good, 11-2 at Minute Maid Park. Kyle Tucker had three hits, drove in four. Texas Rangers took Memorial Day off. They're going to open a series in Colorado tonight. Round Rock Express tops Salt Lake 8-6. E-Train will wrap up their 12-game road trip tonight. Will open their second homestand of the season Thursday night when they host El Paso at Dell Diamond. Missed it on Sunday. Austin FC snuck into Seattle and escaped with a point. Thank you to a nil-nil draw against the point leaders of the MLS. Sounders entered that game with a league-high 17 points through seven matches, but a gritty effort by the Verde and Black earned the Austin FC a much-needed point, their first point since they win over Minnesota back on May 1st. NBA playoffs yesterday, pair of games. Washington Wizards avoided a sweep at the hands of the Philadelphia 76ers, the top seed in the East, with a 122-114 win. Sixers did still lead that series 3-1, but their big man Joel Embiid left that game in the first quarter with a sore right knee. Head coach Doc Rivers called it a precautionary move. Also last night, top-seeded Utah took down Memphis 120-113. They're up 3-1 in that first-round series. After dropping game one, they've won three in a row, the Jazz have. Tonight, it's another playoff triple header. Boston is at Brooklyn. Nets up 3-1. Portland is at Denver. That series locked at two each. And the L.A. Lakers are in Phoenix. That series also tied at two. Lakers are likely to play without Anthony Davis tonight. He suffered a groin strain in game four. He's listed as questionable for tonight.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, Mr. Godbolt, so we'll talk Texas baseball, but first, the Anthony Davis injury, pretty big in the NBA. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, the injuries now, I think the Joel Embiid thing is precautionary for your 76ers, because I'm calling them your 76ers.
There you go.
But, you know, that was a precautionary move. But the Lakers, that's a big deal. That's obviously MRI reveals a pretty serious groin injury. That could pivot that series. You know, we've talked about Chris Paul's shoulder injury in Phoenix. That series now locked at two, and trouble for the Lakers, potentially, the defending champions.
Yeah, this is a problem for them, because when you get a groin injury, that's not going away. That's not like that's going to be healed through the rest of the playoffs period. Even if they got past this, it's still going to be lingering on. So just a matter of how much he can take, but he's going to miss game five, and I don't know. If they don't win that, they may not win game six. So yeah. I don't know. It all depends. Let LeBron James, let him put this on his shoulders. He's capable. He's got enough players, but for the long term, not so much. But to get out of this series, we'll just see what LeBron is made of right now. I mean, we know how good he is. If he can carry that team, this is the time to do it. He looked pretty good the last game. He looked healthy and ready to go. But long term down the line for the Lakers, without AD, they can't win.
Agreed. I mean, he's got to be their best player if they're going to obviously win this series and certainly win another championship. They need Anthony Davis to be as good as the best player on the floor.
But it'll never. It's not healing.
Yeah, the MRI was not good for them. Zay Isaiah Collier, our producer, also enjoyed the 3-day weekend. Zay, how are you, my friend?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
How bad is it for Anthony Davis?
Oh man, this hurts. This hurts. But you can't be surprised with the injuries that he's had all season.
That's right.
He's dealt with. You know, it seems like he's kind of been laboring around all playoffs trying not to get injured. And yeah, it's very unfortunate. But yeah, I'm kind of like you guys. If he's not healthy, then these guys kind of got a short, stint here in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Sixers and Joel Embiid, I mean, precautionary. Obviously, you got another fan on the floor situation in that game. I don't know what's going on with them. We talked on Friday, Buck. The fans are out of control. When they weren't allowed in stadiums and in arenas for a year, and now they're back and they're losing their minds, running on the floor and throwing things and dropping popcorn and getting ejected. But the Sixers still firmly in control of that series.
Yeah, I mean, that whole thing with the fans is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
That's past ridiculous. Just because you buy a ticket doesn't give you the right to throw things, to act ridiculous. This is – this is all, you know, you've been cooped up, and now, you know, you get your opportunity. This is kind of trying to get some of these guys back in a way. I think, you know, their activism, their religion, their color, whatever it is.
Wow.
It doesn't give you an opportunity to feel like this is their hunting grounds once you now can get to them, and now you can throw things at them, you can spit on them, you can drop popcorn on them. It doesn't matter how much money they make. You're ridiculous to think that you can go in there and do that to somebody.
That's not
your place. That's not you get a ticket to go in there and be entertained. If you don't like the person, everybody feels like, oh, now I got them. They're enclosed in this place. I've been wanting to let them know how I feel about them. It's way over the top. And those guys, every time something like this happens, and they need to have guys thrown in jail. And the guy in Boston is in real trouble.
Yeah, throwing 21-year-old that threw a water bottle at Kyrie Irving, and of course he went in there, you know, warning of potential issues with the Boston crowd and what underlying racism issues, and you know, they lived up to their reputation at some level.
I know. They feel like this is the place. Now I can get them. Now they're here where they can't get away from me. They're on the court. I can throw something. I can say something. I can spit on them. No, I mean, this isn't a zoo. Those guys, and it doesn't matter how much they make. I mean, I heard somebody say that, well, the guy makes this much money, what's popcorn going to do to him? It's not that. It's the disrespect you have for doing something to others. Why would you do that? Go be a fan, enjoy the game, boo, do whatever you want to, but don't spit on somebody or throw something. I mean, that's totally out of line. It really is.
Yeah, and we've had four incidents of it since, you know, fans have been allowed back in. It is pretty crazy, without a doubt. So NBA playoffs continue. If you missed it over the weekend, the Dallas Mavericks coughed up their 2-0 lead. The Clippers came to town, beat them twice. So that series now 2-2. They'll resume that series tomorrow night in the NBA playoffs. But as expected, Longhorns, number one seed in the Austin Regional, number two seed overall. It feels like the selection committee, but kind of followed the RPI.
Mm-hmm.
Longhorns are number two. Their resume strong. 42 victories. Won the Big 12 in the regular season. Won a couple of games at the Big 12 tournament after dropping that opener to West Virginia. Got themselves into the Saturday game and lost to Oak State 5-4 to end their tournament hopes there. But still, plenty of accomplishment over the course of a 3-month season to earn the number one seed. And you know, they'll host a regional this weekend, as expected. We'll talk to David Pierce later in the week, but you have to feel pretty good about where the Longhorns sit. You know, their next road game, if they continue to move forward, will be in Omaha if they can get there, because they'll host regionals here this weekend, and then if they can win it, they'll host a super regional against the winner of the Gainesville regional.
Yeah, and now they got to get back to playing their kind of baseball. You know, not outside the box stuff that has made them successful. You know, the other day it was just kind of it was kind of rough. You know what I mean? They bounce back after losing that first game. They bounce back. They win two, and then they lose to a pretty good Oklahoma State team that really was.
They're in the tournament. They're one of four Big 12 teams in. They got in.
They fought their way in, and now, but the Horns need to score some runs. They need to get some hits again and get back to hitting the ball.
Yeah, the strikeouts were an issue at the tournament. Obviously, we talked about that on
get a little outside the box, you know.
Yeah, stay. They've been really good all year at Dish Falk Field. We know that, and the regional. You know, Arizona State's a traditional power. That'll be interesting. You know, that's the two seed, and then we've talked this year about Fairfield. Remember, we were watching the RPI, the power poll throughout the course of the year, and we're looking at, well, who is this Fairfield group, and why are they in the top five of the
playing
RPI?
All those games. How did they get all those games in?
Yeah, and they ended up, you know, they went 37-3. Fairfield, they're actually the three seed in this tournament. And I was looking into Fairfield a little bit this morning, getting ready for the show, and they're like, well, who is this group? They're out of Connecticut. Private Jesuit college in Connecticut, played 40 games. They played 30 at home, and they only played 10 road games all year long, including their conference tournament. So they rarely left Fairfield, Connecticut, where the school is. But so we'll see. They're a three seed, even though their RPI is stronger than that, based on their record at 37-3. And the Longhorns will open with Southern, who are only in the tournament because they got hot and won the SWAC tournament. They're under 500. They're a 20-28 team. Who got hot and won the SWAC tournament, and they're coming here, and the Longhorns have an opportunity to jump on them early, and you know, obviously they'll play the early game the way the schedule comes. They're going to play the afternoon game, and then Arizona State and Fairfield will play the night game, and obviously it's a double elimination best of you know, 4-team regional this weekend.
Yeah, I mean this is their ticket right here, playing Southern. They can just move on. Like I said, if they can stay just focus on what they do, you know, like they've been doing all during the season. I mean, this is a good baseball team. They got four good pitching. They got four good pitchers ready to take the mound and win those games and move on. But you got to get back to what you do, not worry about anything else. It's easy to get outside that box once you lost that first game. It really is. It really was. And they bounce back. But they got to start hitting the ball again, too.
They do, and making contact, playing the small ball kind of game. I mean, they have an opportunity here, I think. I mean, obviously Southern is – I mean, they're 20-28. They're an under 500 team
right. Who
got hot at the right time and won their tournament, so don't take them lightly. But at the same time
– don't play outside. Just play your game.
Just play your ball game.
Yes.
Obviously, and you're playing at home. You'll have big crowds. I mean, they'll have full capacity at Dish Falk this weekend. And, you know, this is what you play for. This is what you – at the University of Texas, for sure, what you play for is to get to June, be in this spot to play home games all the way to Omaha, and that's where the Longhorns are, and it begins on Friday. So congratulations to David Pierce and the Horns. Texas softball saw their season end over the weekend in the Super Regional round at Stillwater, Oklahoma. They got beat they lost the third game there in a one-run game. So their
Did I see the rowing team get a national championship?
Yes. The Texas rowing team won a national championship over the weekend. Which is another natty for the Longhorns.
Quite the spring.
And can we say that the ladies are getting her done over at the University of Texas?
Yes, they are.
Whether it's volleyball or tennis or rowing, softball.
Track and field.
Women's basketball, the Elite Eight round with Vic Schaefer. I mean, the women's sports over at the University of Texas is absolutely crushing it. Football. Inside 100 days to the start of the Texas football season. And, you know, on this June 1st, Buck, that means recruiting is opening up. You know, coaches can't visit players, but players can now visit the campus, which they couldn't do for the last year plus because of the COVID shutdown. And it's a big opportunity now for Steve Sarkisian and this coaching staff at Texas to make that first impression and bring players in. There's a bunch of big weekends coming up here in the month of June for the Texas football team with planned events and camps and getting players on campus and big names, including Arch Manning is going to be making a trip to Austin here in the month of June, the top-end quarterback recruit. And, you know, this is big for a brand-new coaching staff. You are part of coaching staffs to make that first impression on the players of the future. But as Steve Sarkisian said last week down in Houston at the Touchdown Club, don't lose focus on this group, the current team. We've got big things to do here coming up in the fall. While we get caught up in recruiting, let's not get caught up in losing what's going on with the 2021 version of the Longhorns.
Yeah, they got to be careful. They're just meeting the young men that are here now, and they want to get to know them a little bit better. They, you know, you go out and you know what you have to do on the road when it comes to recruiting. You got to do a lot of talking, make a lot of promises. But don't forget the guys that you have here. You still don't quite know all of them. So good time to get to know them, too. Get to spend some time because most of them, they'll go home for a little bit, but they'll be right back here again, especially with the way the season's going now. They understand. Not much home time now. There really isn't. Unless Sarkis said, I want you guys out of here. I want you to go see your families. It's been a long year and a half. Nobody's got a chance to really go home. You've been stuck on campus. They've been sticking stuff up your nose. Maybe he has gone to the, I think you probably should spend some time at your house. Or it's, hell no, you guys need to stay here.
Well, but I don't think coaches can actually visit. They're not going to go on the road.
They're bringing them here.
The visits are now allowed to here.
Yeah,
so
they got to bring them here.
That makes it a little more tenable for the coaches.
And you'd like to have some of your players here, too.
Yes. Well, look, you know this, the best recruiters you're going to have are your players.
Absolutely.
And the current players, and they're all getting to know this coaching staff as well. But the opportunities to bring players in for weekends and visits and pool parties and all the things that we know that go on, Steve Sarkisian and his staff have a chance to make a first impression on the future Longhorns or potential future Longhorns while getting this group ready for the fall. So June is here. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to dive into. College World Series and the Field of 64 revealed. We've got NBA playoffs. We've got NHL playoffs. We've got NFL. The Aaron Rodgers story continues to percolate. We'll get you the details on that. And how about this, Buck? The report this morning from Peter King, it's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, but Peter King's article, which comes out every Monday on the inner workings of the NFL, came out yesterday. And in it, he predicts that, this year they're moving the NFL season to a 17-game season. But he predicts by 2024 there will be an 18-game season in the NFL. This is the first step of a two-step move to take the NFL season to 18 games. It'll be 17 this week, but within 2 to 3 years, I think it'll be...
Yeah, they'll have that one preseason game, and then they'll go about their business.
Yes. Soon. Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, if and when they go to 18 games, they're going to add an extra bye week. You know, as the NFL continues to grow up to, like, remember, their goal is a $20 billion industry, right? I mean, Roger Goodell's stated goal when they hit $10 billion as an industry was to grow it to a $20 billion industry, and that's where they're headed. And one way to do that is to add, you know, more games and, you know, more things to sell to advertisers, which is what they're going to do.
As long as they keep on extending the rosters and making the rosters bigger, too.
Agreed.
When they do that.
Agreed. And so I would guess that if it's 17 this week, this year, we'll get to see that, obviously, how that goes with just the one bye week. I would guess that there would be a second bye week in an 18-game season, which, you know, big picture, the macro view, pushes the NFL season all the way into mid-February,
mm-hmm.
to where, you know, it starts with preseason, as you said, one, maybe two. I still think there'll be two preseason games. I still think it'll be a 20-game package, just like they've been selling, right?
Sure.
They've got four preseason games, 16 regular season games, plus playoffs. I would guess there'll be a road game and a home preseason game for each team, and then 18 regular season games with two bye weeks, and all of a sudden the Super Bowl's played in mid-February.
Wow.
Mid-February, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of football.
But we can take it, right?
Oh, yeah. If they want to take it, if they want to get paid, and that's the way it goes, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. But that was the report from Peter King over the weekend that they're going to 17 this year. 18 is right around the corner for the National Football League. So we'll count down the days to the start of the football season. We've got baseball on the brain. It is a Tuesday on B&E that feels like a Monday for sure. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Hope you found a way to honor the fallen, as we do on Memorial Day, those who paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country. But also hope you got some time with your friends and family. Maybe slept 14 hours.
Yeah, man.
Maybe it was the coastal air that got you 14 hours.
Well, there's no doubt about that air down there, and listening to the palm trees that are dead, blowing in the wind down there. There's a lot of stuff that's not coming back that people have near their fish camps. That stuff is gone. It's a goner, but it's just nice. That air was great. And when you get up every morning at 3:15, 3:30, when you get a chance to sleep, it was nice sleep and air conditioned. It was like being in a hotel room, you know what I mean? Let the boys play. I'm sleeping.
All right, we're recapping a weekend. Normally on a Monday, we do good, the bad, and the ugly. It's a Tuesday edition, but we'll do the same. Good, bad, and ugly from the weekend, including the Longhorn baseball team, the number 2 national seed. Craig Way will have more on that coming up in the Craig Way Report. And did you see that Charlie Strong, former Longhorn coach Charlie Strong, made his pro wrestling debut over the long weekend? We'll get you details on that if you missed it. Also, the other good, bad, and ugly from a busy weekend. B&E with you on a Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You take a mortal man.
Dang, Isaiah Collier bringing the ruckus this morning with the first return song of the morning. 6:30, glad you're with us. The showers of May have become the showers of June, as more, you know, downpours over the night. So you're going to wake up to wet streets, and but I drove in pretty clean this morning, Buck. But more showers in the forecast, so wet May becomes wet June. Welcome to first day of the sixth month of the year as we get you going. Lot to recap, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend that was, and the Buck is back after his trip down to the coast and back, which is a good thing, and we get you rolling here on what's going to be a fun month of June. Is it a long run for the Longhorn baseball team becomes the question. Omaha is the destination, the goal, and it begins on Friday with the regional. Longhorns, the number 2 overall national seed. And I thought, love for the Big 12, Buck, or at least you know, credit to the Big 12 with 3 top 8 seeds. You know, obviously, for folks who are kind of coming to college baseball, if you're in the top 8 national seeds, you know, 16 teams host regionals this weekend, but if you're in the top 8, if you win your own regional at home, you then will host the super regional round the following weekend, and that is the situation for Texas as the 2 seed, TCU is the 6, and Texas Tech played their way into an 8 seed out in Lubbock, and they're going to host a regional in Lubbock. So 3 Big 12 teams in the top 8, four Big 12 teams in the field of 64, but credit to the 10-team Big 12 getting three of the top eight.
How awesome is that?
Yeah. You know, the top eight, I think six are SEC. Is that right? No, five are SEC, three Big 12, and then one, I think it's ACC.
ACC.
But the Pac-12, I mean, the SEC's got, they're loaded. They got nine teams into the field of 64, and five will host, including the number one overall national seed in Arkansas, who going into this tournament is probably the team to beat. You know, they won the SEC regular season and tournament. They won every series they played over the weekends in the SEC. The first, they're one of few teams in the history of the SEC to win every weekend series. They didn't lose a series all weekend.
That group's been peaking since the middle of the season.
They've been really good. They kind of look, if you're looking at other NCAA sports, they kind of look like, Baylor or Gonzaga, right, from basketball. They're just really, really good. And that's the team that you have to play to. You got to play that caliber. They for Dave Van Horn in Arkansas, they do everything. They pitch really well. They hit the ball. Longhorns saw them in Arlington in that three games. When Longhorns lost three games up in Arlington to start the season, and the Burnt Orange have kind of rallied around that, calling it, instead of remember the Alamo, remember Arlington, because they got humbled in those first three games and had really used that as fuel throughout the course of this season to earn the number two overall national seed behind Arkansas. But the Razorbacks, clearly the team to beat. But as you say, Buck, you only control what you can control, and you won't see them until, a month from now. And hopefully you're seeing them, because it could be a...
Yeah, seeing them at your best, too.
Yeah, that's the team that comes in as the number one team, but the Longhorns are number two. And a lot to like about the Longhorns, a lot to like about what they do. They certainly have to play better than they did at the Big 12 tournament, but, they lost that first game, then beat Oklahoma with the 17-strikeout game that they still found a way to win, but played their way into Saturday, won a couple of games, and really solidified that two seed. I think that was, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they're going to be a top eight, but to be the number two overall national seed, credit
it's
to David Pearson and this group.
That's pretty good stuff for them.
Yeah, the resume's strong. And now host Southern this weekend, along with Arizona State, who's a traditional power. Obviously, they've won five national championships as a program. And the newbies, Fairfield, coming to Austin this weekend.
Awesome. We got to talk to Rodney Rodriguez about Julio Castroneves winning the 500. That is, we've had back-to-back weekends of old dudes coming out of nowhere and being champions. And Castroneves' win is a huge deal.
At the Indy 500, yeah.
Yeah, 46 years old. It was 20 years ago that guy won the Indy 500, and all of a sudden he gets, it's like the last team. Nobody wanted this guy. He didn't have a team to go to. He found a team, and now they're on top. I think they only had like one car. That's it, period, with this new team that he's with, and that's awesome for him. That's awesome for racing, too, that an old dude can jump back in there and 46-year-old can win that race. He's one of the oldest guys, but there have been some old dudes that won the big race, but that's cool to see back-to-back weekends from Phil right on into the next week.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's part of the weekend. Obviously, you got that. You had the Coca-Cola 600 in NASCAR. We also had Jordan Spieth falling apart on a Sunday again. I did watch the final for the Colonial on Sunday. Obviously, it's Tuesday now, but how about Jason Kokrak? He wins that event. But
it's his second one this year.
Yeah, it's his second win, but you got to wonder what's going on with Jordan Spieth between the ears, because he is he's put himself in position all year. He did win down in San Antonio, so he did finish that deal. But Jordan Spieth's Sunday scoring average is around 73. He comes into the weekends, in the final group, and boy, the shots he hit down the stretch, you just wonder where Jordan Spieth, is it, people will say the choke word is like, it's hard to throw that around, but it does feel like he's in his own head on Sundays, Buck, to where he becomes his own worst enemy. He was right there, had a chance to win that event up in Fort Worth.
And he was knocking the ball in the fairway. I mean, he had some simple shots that he really didn't make look simple. The shots that he had when he knocked the ball in the middle of the fairway, he was only 120 yards out or so. He just was yanking wedges and not knocking it close. And, I mean, he was playing with his C game, and the other guy, Kokrak, was playing with – they both didn't play well on Sunday, but one played well enough to win, the other did not.
Well, he shot 70. Jordan Spieth, 70 would have won the tournament. 72 would have won the tournament.
Right.
Instead, he shot 73 and lost to Kokrak, and obviously on 18 he hits it in the water. coming out of, he had a decent drive that was in the rough, but still, you know, he needed a birdie, so he's trying to go close, but you know, you can't go over, you can't, you know, cook it past the flag and go in the water in that spot.
And those are the shots that generally he comes through with.
Yeah.
He makes a great shot.
And that's what you wonder with Jordan Spieth. I mean, obviously, he's right there. I mean, that's what you want. You want to present yourself opportunities to win tournaments. He's doing that on a pretty much tournament by tournament basis. But you got to wonder when you see a scoring average where his Thursday scoring average is, you know, 66-67, Friday and Saturday are similar, and then Sunday his scoring average is, you know, 73.5. You're like, whoa.
I never saw Phil. Whatever happened to Phil?
Oh, he didn't make the cut. He didn't want to.
I told you he wasn't going to.
He honored his commitment, and he said, I'm getting ready for the U.S. Open.
I told you he wasn't going to do anything there. That guy wasn't going to come back-to-back weeks.
No.
That guy's been talking to the media for a week straight.
No. He did a press conference after his Thursday round where he shot 3 over.
Yeah.
And they said to Phil, you know, obviously not, you know, picking up where you left off. And he said, you know what? I shot 3 over. I didn't play great, but I still won the PGA. And he kind of grinned at everybody in his cool glasses. And Phil's going to get ready for the U.S. Open in 3 weeks. You know, the United States Open, which is the one major he's never won.
Right.
Which would be pretty cool. So we'll zero in on golf. We'll watch Jordan Spieth moving forward. But the Colonial, the Texas Swing, is now in the books. And Jason Kokrak won that event over the weekend on top of the Indy 500, on top of the Coca-Cola 600. And the Longhorns earned the number 2 overall national seed in the field of 64 for college baseball. The Buck is back. Isaiah Collier is here. Zay, what'd you take from the NBA playoffs over the weekend? They got the Dallas Mavericks. They took a 2-0 lead, winning both games in L.A., but came home to Dallas, American Airlines Center, not only up 2-0, Buck, but in the game 3 on Friday, they went up 30-11. Like they were running the Clippers out of the gym in front of a frenzied crowd at the American Airlines Center. And from 30-11 on, the Clippers not only came back and won that game, they then won game 4, and the Clippers are back in the series.
Yeah, I told you, and I went on Shirts and Scans and told Chad Hastings, if Tyronn Lue stops playing Zubac, they will have a chance.
You're right.
And then when they went into game 3, and like you said, Dallas was up 30-11, and then Tyronn Lue was like, maybe we should take this Zubac guy out and start playing small. They did that. They won the last 2 games.
Yeah, and now you've got Luka Doncic, which with the neck strain that he's dealing with, you know, as far as you know, his overall health, and obviously without Luka, the Mavs have very, very little chance. So you went into the weekend feeling great about the Mavericks. You come out of the weekend, okay, you're going to get one at home, Zay. You're going to get one on your home floor. You're going to go up 3-1, give yourself a chance to, you know, control the series. Instead, now it's 2-2, home court now back to in advantage of the Clippers.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the Clippers, I thought, were always the better team. I just thought it was a bad matchup when you had Zubac out there, who's just very slow-footed, and the Mavs have been taking advantage of that this whole time. So now, you know, Tyronn Lue did a really good job putting Batum at the 5 and having Morris there at the 4. So now they're playing small ball, you know, and the Mavs having Porzingis out there and whatnot. Now they're the team that, you know, has a disadvantage. So Rick Carlisle, you saw him throw Boban out there to try to, you know, play chess with Tyronn Lue. But at the end of the day, if Luka's going to be injured, then I think the next 2 games are going to be the Clippers.
Yeah, and they're obviously the favorite in the series, but it looked like the Mavericks had a chance. But we'll see. Rick Carlisle and company, they'll play tomorrow night. Tonight, the triple header. You've got Brooklyn looking to close out. They're up, you know, on Boston in a 3-1 advantage. You also have, in the NBA playoffs, you've got the Lakers without Anthony Davis likely tonight. How about that? That's a pivotal series and game this evening. And you also have the Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers knotted at 2 apiece as part of your triple header tonight.
And we are the New York Knicks are about to go home for the summertime, too.
We are the New York Knicks.
We are down 3-1. Good night. Say goodnight to that one.
Say goodnight to it.
Yeah.
It was fun while it lasted.
It was fun.
Fun while it lasted. But, you know, Trae Young.
Popcorn throwers, yeah.
Popcorn throwers.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. This says on the Specs text line, always appreciate your thoughts at 337-3776. As Jordan Spieth's comment after the event on Sunday says, I was taking the club back and had no freaking clue where the ball was going to go. Jordan has always been best when it's more about feel than obsessing over mechanics. And that does feel like, that's why I say it's in Jordan Spieth's head. Like it feels like when he was dominating golf, which he did for a year and a half period, he just was playing loose and free and playing like we saw Jordan Spieth in college, right? Win a national championship. but he does seem to get in his own head. He's his own worst enemy. And you could see Jordan Spieth early. He made two bogeys early in the round on that Sunday, right? He made bogeys at 2 and 3, if memory serves.
I think he had three in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe had three bogeys in a row.
Like you could just tell he was in his own head, overthinking the game, and never. I mean, anybody that plays any golf, once you start trying to do things, it's going to be a problem. It's almost like on Sundays, Jordan overthinks, overtries, whatever the word is, and to say you don't know where the ball's going to go, that's a problem on a Sunday. He's doing, you know, the loose, carefree Jordan Spieth that doesn't seem to exist anymore on a Sunday.
No, he's fine on Thursdays. He's fantastic on Thursdays, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Looks good. He's loose. His swing is good. But, I mean, even his putting. But on Sundays, man, he just looked terrible.
He did. He did. And Jason Kokrak won that event. We'll take your good, bad, and ugly from the weekend on this Tuesday edition. It feels like a Monday coming out of the Memorial Day weekend. Coming up, we'll have your B&E Fact of the Day. Also, in our Coach's Corner next hour, we'll talk to our buddy Ty Harrington, former Texas State baseball coach. Talk to him about the Field of 64, his observations on the Longhorns as a 2 seed. Arkansas is the number 1 overall seed in the Big 12, getting 3 top 8 seeds in. We'll talk to Coach Harrington coming up, preview the Field of 64 with him. Always a good conversation on a Tuesday, any day, actually, to talk to Coach Ty. First, though, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, B&E on a Tuesday. Hope you had a good extended weekend and the Memorial Day holiday and honoring the fallen yesterday. Hope you had a way to do that. Recapping the good, the bad, and the ugly, including, I don't know if you saw this, Buck, former Texas football coach, head coach Charlie Strong.
What is the Strong one doing?
Made his pro wrestling debut on Saturday, or was it Saturday or Sunday? The days kind of run together as far as the extended weekend. But Urban Meyer is the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he has hired Charlie Strong onto his defensive staff, correct? So he's brought his former Florida Gators defensive coordinator to his first staff in the NFL. And there was an all-elite wrestling event in Jacksonville over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
All-elite. We'll have to get our buddy Stu Myrick on board on this. I'm not sure what all-elite means, but that's one of the brands of wrestling. And the show was at the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium, okay, where the Jaguars play football, TIA Bank Field.
Okay.
So in the action between Chris Jericho and someone named MJF, I guess that's a wrestler, MJF, it spilled into the bowels of the complex. So like it went from the ring to the floor of the ring into the bowels of the complex. And all of a sudden they ended up into an office, like a coach's office, where there, what do you know, there's head coach Urban Meyer and defensive assistant Charlie Strong. And you got to watch the video, but the two wrestlers are smacking each other around, and there's Urban, and there's Charlie Strong, and they, you know, dropping them on a table and dropping them on a chair and wrestling. And Charlie Strong begins to throw a football to Chris Jericho, who then fires the football at the other guy and then fires another football at the other guy.
So he hit him right in the face.
Right in the face. And then Urban Meyer gives Chris Jericho a laptop that he whacks him over the back of his head, like a laptop computer.
Come on, Charlie, get in there physically.
A laptop
it's
computer.
It's a laptop, yeah.
Yeah.
Charlie, get in there.
No, they didn't want any part of that.
You've got to get in there physically. Don't hand him something. Get in there, throw some shots.
Yeah. Charlie could have handled himself. He's looking pretty fit, as usual. But yeah, that's Charlie Strong, Urban Meyer making their all-elite wrestling debut.
Wow.
Over the weekend. Part of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Also over
the
weekend.
Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, I'm not. you mentioned Helio Castroneves winning the Indianapolis 500. Do you know he's the fourth driver over the age of 46 to win at the Brickyard? And joining Bobby Unser, Al Unser, and Emerson Fittipaldi.
Yes.
Those four have won Indy 500s past the age of 46, which is a cool thing. We also had there's history made over the weekend, Buck. This is part of the good, bad, and ugly. But the Brooklyn Nets have become the this is pretty incredible because the Nets are up 3-1 on the Celtics. They can close out tonight. But you know that the Nets, with Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving, they're the first trio in NBA history to score 95-plus points in back-to-back playoff games. That's never happened before in the history of the NBA. We know that team is talented, Buck. That it's about cohesion and, you know, chemistry and playing together. They just haven't played together. But back-to-back playoff games, those three have combined to score nearly 100 points for their team. That's hard to beat. I mean, if Brooklyn's going to be healthy and they're going to play that way, I know Boston is, you know, kind of limped into the playoffs, but at the same time, that's impressive.
I mean, James Harden looks like, he loves playing a point guard, it looks like to me. He loves bringing the ball up the court. He likes to facilitate. I mean, he's always talking. Zay, he looks like a team player right now in facilitating the ball and talking on every play, going up to guys and saying, this is what we need to do. And he's not worried about scoring. It looks like he's more of a facilitator to those other two guys right now.
Yeah, he's an amazing passer, and obviously we didn't really get to see that, you know, throughout those Houston years as much as we could have, but when he wants to be, he's a really good leader, and, you know, he could, you know, when KD and Kyrie are out the game, he could orchestrate the whole offense by himself and create for others in ways that Kyrie and KD can't. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, and yeah, if they play like this, then they're just going to be a ridiculously tough out.
Especially if Anthony Davis's growing injury is with the Lakers, you know, as you said, Buck. I mean, maybe they get through Phoenix. I don't know, but at the same time, they may not get through Phoenix if Anthony Davis can't be healthy, and they're certainly not going to get out of the West if Anthony Davis has a lingering issue with his groin. At the same time, to your point about James Harden, I mean, the one thing I always said about James Harden as a Rockets fan is he's never going to lead a team to a championship as the alpha, as the one, right? But what you're seeing is as the two or three, he's freaking amazing. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, he's got Kevin Durant who will take big shots. He's got Kyrie Irving who we know will take big shots. And he's happy to be the facilitator.
Yeah, and he's not wanting to take these crazy shots. He's going to the basket. He goes. I mean, he can get around you. I mean, he can dribble his way around you and get to the hoop.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. And you know, it's shades of what you saw with the Spurs. Remember when the Spurs had Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili? When you have two guys like Kyrie Irving and James Harden, or in that point, Tony Parker and Manu, who can get their own shot and facilitate and create, and you have a Hall of Famer around them like, you know, Kevin Durant or Tim Duncan, that's hard to stop, Zay. I mean, it's almost impossible to stop, and that's why the Spurs won five titles with those dudes.
Yeah, and people are asking about the defense with the Nets. Well, it doesn't matter if you're scoring 145 a game.
Yeah.
Like, it's irrelevant. You don't have to play D. You could give up 120 and then score 135 like they've been doing. So I wouldn't sleep on Milwaukee, though. I know we're talking about the Lakers stopping them. Milwaukee's sitting at home, eating cheese and whatnot.
Swept the Heat.
Yeah, swept the Heat. They're just chilling, and they're waiting to see if those, you know, Nets will win tonight's game. And when they do, like I think they will, that's going to be a hell of a second-round matchup.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'm excited about seeing what L.A. can do. I mean, a banged-up Chris Paul. And I want to see if LeBron can carry this team. I mean, I think he's healthy enough right now that there won't be any excuses. It won't be, well, we didn't have Anthony Davis. It'll be one of the great players in basketball, seeing if he can carry a team past the Suns. But as I said, without Anthony Davis, LeBron can't carry a team to this team that he has right now to a championship by himself. Anthony Davis has to be a part of it.
Agreed. Somebody pointed out on the text line that the Jacksonville Jaguars owner owns that wrestling league.
Oh.
All Elite Wrestling.
Come into my office.
Like Shad Khan owns the wrestling league. Okay. Oh. That makes sense. That's why Charlie Strong was firing footballs to Chris Jericho, who was firing footballs at whoever the other wrestler guy was. Hey, can we get to your B&E Fact of the Day on this Tuesday morning?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, we mentioned Arkansas, the number one national seed in the college baseball field of 64. And we're going to give you a little layup on a Tuesday morning. The last two SEC teams that won the regular season and the SEC tournament, well, even three of them, the last two have one commonality that the Arkansas Razorbacks hope to duplicate. We'll let you know what that is on the other side. We'll tell you who they were and what they have in common. The last two SEC teams to win the regular season and the tournament and then be the number one overall seed. We'll tell you that on the other side. It's B&E on the Horn.